Welcome back to Weekly Winners. Today is Thursday, August 12th. And I'm going to start right off with a prepared statement. I know that on last week's episode, Cody wasn't here for the first 10 minutes to kind of rail me in. And I kind of went off on those of you who stopped fading my baseball picks. Ye of little faith who decided that one winning day was enough to scare you off and not fade my picks, even though I'm traditionally such a bad gambler on baseball. And I gave such a heartfelt thank you to those who believed in me and believed that I would keep losing money and kept fading my picks. And to that same group of people that I thanked last week, I want to say, suck it. How's it feel being poor? I'm the best baseball gambler in the world now. I'm 5-0 over the last few days. The only reason I'm not 7-0 is because of this terrible weather we've been having. They don't want me to keep winning. Vegas is calling in the weather machine to cancel these games because they can't afford to pay me out my winnings anymore. Hashtag Fade Jerry's Picks is over. I'm the best gambler in the world. I've never been this hot. The movement is dead. I'm just on fire. There's nothing I can do. I can't help but choose winners right now.
Yeah. I do keep forgetting to make picks, but when I do, I've kind of been, you know, down half a unit, down a unit here and there, but just kind of been slow for me lately. I did hit some big bets on the horse track. So
you did. That was a big day for you.
It was up, I want to say, like 7.3 units on the horses. So gotta love that.
Yeah, well, we are recording on Wednesday here. As you can see, we kind of got the new setup. We're actually here in person. This isn't some movie magic. But yeah, Wednesday. So I guess you'll know if I've continued my hot streak by the time you hear this. But for Wednesday, here are my picks. These are already tweeted out on our Twitter at WeeklyWinnersWI. So if you're fortunate enough on Wednesday to be seeing my picks, you can make money along with me. But on Thursday, when you hear the podcast, you'll know if I made the money. So my picks for today are the White Sox -2.5 at the Twins, -+133. This has kind of been my strategy. Just pick the better away teams to win by multiple runs against bad home teams. Because, you know, you just get that little extra juice on your line when you're betting the away team, and there's so many games in baseball. And I mean, who's even going to Twins games anymore? Like, how much of a home field advantage do they really have?
Right.
Especially when you're only coming up from Chicago. It's not like they're playing the Dodgers, you know, coming all the way in from LA. No, it's Chicago. So I got White Sox -2.5. I've got the Tigers -2 at the Orioles. The Tigers might be my most bet on team this baseball season, which might not be a great sign, but they've made me a lot of money since the All-Star break.
So I mean, they've been hot since the All-Star break.
And this is the perfect game for me because I don't even need to look at the stats for this one. I know the Orioles are my most bet against team. Every line I see, I'm like, oh yeah, the Orioles can lose by 2. Like, the Orioles can lose by 5. So that's +170. The Cardinals -2.5 at the Pirates. That's +150. Pirates are probably second. I just keep betting on the bad teams or betting against the bad teams. And the Phillies are slight favorites on the money line against the Dodgers, which at home, which I thought about taking, but I thought when I was looking at the lines, let's get a little frisky. Let's just bump it a little bit. Go Phillies -1 against the Dodgers to go all the way up to +195. So, you know, if they win by one, you know what, that's a gamble that I took, and, you know, I don't make my, you know, 1.3 units or whatever I would have made. But if they do, you know, win by 2 or more, then I'm feeling pretty good afterwards. So, yeah, those are my 4 picks for the day to go, you know, 9-0 over 3 days.
All right, I've got 4 picks as well. We're starting with a series that has been postponed quite a bit. Oh, yeah. The Brewers at the Cubs, they set the over-under at 10.5. I didn't like that. I bumped it all the way down to 8.5, taking the under at plus 163. I'm taking the Reds -1.5 at the Braves for plus 165. I'm taking the Tigers -1.5 at plus 125. So you move that line, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I'm taking the Rockies money line at the Astros. Astros 2-6 in their last eight. Just, I don't know. I'm feeling some Rockies action.
Yeah. A lot of, you know, a lot of plus odds has kind of has been the theme with both of our betting on baseball.
Right.
A lot of moving of the lines.
Something else I was going to look at. I'm trying to see when. Okay, so they do play. So a thing to keep an eye on is since the All-Star, or since July 1st, the Giants have not lost back-to-back games.
It's very impressive.
So if they lose one, taking a money line the next game. Granted, they're usually heavy favorites, but yeah, since July 1st, haven't lost back-to-back games.
Yeah, Dan, I'd be curious, what's the longest streak for that? It feels like
it's got to be out there, but...
Right, baseball teams just don't go. You know, the smallest of little slumps can just...
Right.
Two in a row is nothing to blink at.
I don't really know where you would find it, but I'm sure someone's got that stat hidden somewhere.
Yeah, but kind of continuing with recent episodes, going to be a little shorter. We're kind of trying out, you know, different segments to kind of get to football season. I'm sure once, you know, we get that week one kickoff, we'll be back to our plus episodes. But what else can we do but look forward to the NFL season? Last week, Thursday, we brought you our top 10 quarterbacks. And so this week, we're going to give you our top 10 running backs, and we'll do wide receivers next week. And maybe we'll do defense or something, just general defensive players. Well, that's so hard to...
Right, because, like, how do you judge a cornerback versus, like, a nose tackle?
Like... Right. I'd say let's do lines, but I'm very vocal about not knowing how to judge a line. I don't think 99% of football fans know how to judge an offensive line. No, but let's get right into it. Top 10 running backs for just 2021, same as we did the quarterbacks. This isn't projecting forward. This is exactly we're not going on fantasy, but if it was a fantasy draft and I owned a football team in the NFL, which running back would I want most on my team for this year? And I don't see how I could put anyone else number one but Derrick Henry, 2,000 yards last year. You know, he's getting a lot of wear and tear on him, obviously, but this isn't 5 years in the future. This is this year, and I think they'll continue riding him just as hard, and they'll continue being productive, because how can he not at that, being that physically imposing of a specimen at running back?
Well, I agree with the statements you made. I do disagree with your number one.
All right.
If I'm starting a team right now, I want someone who's versatile, so I'm taking CMC. I mean, he's got 388 targets in his NFL career and dropped 9. Like, that's wide receiver stats at a running back position.
It is.
And I don't know. I just think with how passing dominant the game is today that I'd kind of want to run with a running back who I know can consistently catch the ball. And it's not like he's a chump runner either, but yeah, so I'm running with CMC at number one.
Sorry, is that a traditional scat back? Like, you know, you get your guys like Tariq Cohen. It's like, yeah, you like a guy like that, but how many times a game are you going to give him the ball between the tackles? Not very often. CMC's been, throughout his career, been able to handle a workload of both.
Right.
But he's not my number one, and he's not my number two. Number two, Dalvin Cook. Just very young, you can ride him all day. Just give him the ball. He's electric. The speed, the power. Not as versatile as CMC. He does catch some passes, but just that's what I'd want. There's all the energy left in the world. Dalvin Cook's at my number two.
So I'm running it back to your number one, Derrick Henry, as my number two. Same kind of thing. Like, you know, if you're starting a franchise right now, it's always nice to have a guy back there who, if you want to give the ball to 30, 35 times a game, you know that he could physically handle it.
Right.
And, you know, you can just feed him the ball all day. And, yeah, I'm putting him at my number two.
And my three is where McCaffrey falls for me. And it's all just injury.
And that is fair.
How many times, I feel like, in recent history, even with how amazing technology has gotten medically, like guys recovering from injuries and stuff. It used to be, you know, you tear your ACL, that's your career. You're just not coming back from something like that. And that's not, thankfully, that's not the case anymore. But even still, at the running back position, especially when the shelf life for a career is so short, I feel like it's pretty 50-50 on whether a guy comes back to be as good as he was before. He's not going to be nothing. He's still going to get a lot of opportunities, but the chances that he comes back and are 100% of what he was 2 years ago, I just don't think are that high.
Yeah. And yeah, that is fair. And that is one of the drawbacks, but with a guy as skilled as him, I just had to put him at one. I mean,
yeah,
just,
and he is probably the number one running back. If you can count on him being what he was 2 years ago, I just don't know that I can count on that.
Right. So my number three, kind of the same mentality as number one. I kind of want a guy who can also catch the ball. I'm running with Alvin Kamara at number three.
Interesting.
A little less, you know, between the tackles, like we were talking about with McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll still do it, but lots of sweeps, lots of screens with him. But again, I just, with how pass dominant this NFL is, I really want a guy back there who I know can catch the ball.
Mm-hmm. When I go number four, this is a little higher than most people are going to have him, but I think the end of 2020 that he had really shows that that if you put him in that number one back position, 20 carries a game, he's just going to produce every week. And that's Jonathan Taylor, just saw it in college. He just produces yards. He's just such a pure, great, skilled running back. And again, this is, of course, he's, you know, second year in the league, but he got miles put on him at Wisconsin. And the Colts are going to continue to put miles on him. I don't see him, you know, producing when he's 30, probably. It's a horrible thing to say 1 year into a guy's career. But for this year, I think he's a home run. Just feed him the ball and he's going to produce for you.
All right. Number four, I'm doing a guy who I think I've only ever not had on my fantasy team once. Yeah. Dalvin Cook. I love him. Just another one of those guys you can just keep feeding the ball to. And he does, you know, catch the ball out of the backfield a fair right. amount, not as much as Kamara or McCaffrey, but
more of a secondary addition to his game rather than, you know, complementary to
his right. game. His receptions come in like, you know, the third, fourth check down. Whereas
that can be 20 yard reception.
It can, right. But you know, as opposed to McCaffrey or Kamara, where sometimes they're the first option, right. You know? So yeah, but he still can catch the ball. And like you said, a third, fourth check down can still go for 20 plus yards.
Right. Number five is where I put Kamara. He's been doing it. He's been very consistent. It's, you know, a lot of years doing it, a lot of touches for him. And now he's kind of, you know, it's been kind of a revolving door, but there's kind of always been that second back in New Orleans where it's like, okay, this is the, you know, third down. We can give it to this guy between the tackles, kind of keep a couple miles off of Kamara. And they don't really have that this year as much. And maybe that just increases his production, but he's not a big guy. You know, a couple years in, all of a sudden, you know, three or four more carries in a game between the tackles, you know, week 14, 15, 16, 17. I think it could kind of wear in a guy a little more than you would think. So that's what brings him down to five for me.
All right. At five, I'm going with Aaron Jones. Just a guy. I mean, as a Green Bay fan, I've watched him produce, you know, the last 2-3 years. I think he had what, like 18 touchdowns or something 2 years ago. Like, just one of those guys that produces. He's cool running it between the tackles. He's cool running a sweep on the outside. Like, it kind of your do it all running back.
Yeah, very solid. Six is a guy who has not ever been the number one back, and there are so few guys in the NFL these days that are the sole running back on their team. But I think he's one of the guys who would be capable of it, and that's Nick Chubb. Just speed, power, kind of the full package. Doesn't catch it as much, but that's because you have Kareem Hunt there who kind of does that. So you don't really have to see that side of his game. But if you're starting a brand new team, I think you'd be absolutely happy if you had Chubb and only Chubb in your backfield, really.
Yeah, so I actually put him there as well. My only knock to him, like you said, like Kareem Hunt kind of does the, you know, the receiving, you know, third and long, you see Kareem Hunt out there, not Nick Chubb. So we don't really know like his full receiving capability, but mm-hmm. I mean, just from a running standpoint, dude's just an animal. Like,
right.
Love to have him in my backfield.
So then seven is where I get Aaron Jones. And for all the reasons you touched on, he's absolutely very good. But, and this isn't the conversation, but I just think, and this comes back to the philosophy of what you think about running backs in the NFL, whether you should draft them in the first round or if you should pay them. The Packers giving him that deal was puzzling. It's like, it's not as simple as just paying the good players.
Right.
Especially when you have AJ Dillon there who, you know, is excited.
Well,
Packers, maybe more than any team, have running back turnover every couple of years. And it's like, wait, who's this like new guy? All of a sudden he's like amazing. And
right.
He has 2 years. And it's like, oh, wait, who's this new? Where'd he come from? He looks really good when he gets there on third down.
Yeah. And not even that. I mean, I would have been happy with a Jamal Williams, AJ Dillon combo. I mean, I think the Lions are paying him like $3 million a year or something, you know, just like
right.
Dirt cheap because he was always playing behind Jones. But when Jamal Williams got in the game,
right, like, it'd be a lot to hand the reins fully to Dillon, but yeah.
But I think you could split
definitely
carries between Dillon and
as most teams do
Williams. Like, no, I do agree with that though. It wasn't a huge, I mean, I love Aaron Jones. It's just there's got to be a compromise when between love and like money,
right? You got to separate the art from the artist. You got to separate the running back from his contract. Sometimes it's kind of, you can love the guy, but it still can be the right decision to not pay him.
Right. So my next one is, I don't know. It's tough to put him this high, but because of injuries, but when he plays, he is just so dominant. And that's Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
I mean, the dude literally has legs the size of my waist. Like, it just absolute powerhouse bulldozer. It's just the only thing for me is injuries, which is why I knocked him down to seven. I mean, he never gets hurt. I'm putting him, you know, two,
right.
One. Like,
he was that high of a pick for a reason,
right? And just an absolute bulldozer.
I mean, what's the next time we see a running back taken in the top five of the draft?
I don't even know if there's anyone in college that, you know,
right? It's just it's not in vogue anymore.
Because I mean,
the way to
even was it Najee Harris that went first, or did Antenne go first?
No, Najee went first,
and that was at 24.
Yeah,
I mean, and even that. I mean, it's a team addressing a need in the late first round, not a big deal. But even that, if you just look at like player rankings and stuff, like that was a reach.
Right.
But you do have to take team needs into account.
Of course,
like, yeah. It's not black and white, yeah. But
it's great. You can get running back talent for so cheap that even on his rookie deal, because he was drafted so high, he was paid in like the top seven of running backs or something.
Right.
That rookie deal is just pretty lucrative in comparison to other running back contracts.
Right.
Yeah. So at eight, speaking of rookie running backs, I put Najee up there. You know, you guys know me. I'm never making homer picks. So, you know, this comes from just the head, not the heart. But never in my memory has a position been able to consistently come in and produce like this their rookie year. Outside of, like, there's some home run, like, linemen that are like, yeah, they're just ready. They've been ready. But, I mean, running backs can just come in and you can just – they produce right away. And I think, you know, young legs like that, like, you can just hand it to him and he's ready to just kind of take off. You know, that's where I got him.
So I will be going with Austin Eckler. I mean, common theme here is I value receiving very high in a running back. And I mean, most receiving touchdowns last 2 years, most explosive receiving plays and running plays in that time. I mean, he's just kind of your utility, do it all running back.
Mm-hmm. Getting down to it, number nine. I'm going with Josh Jacobs. I don't think we've seen his full potential, and I think that's been by design. The Raiders have always, kind of like we touched on with the Saints and Kamara, the Raiders have always kind of made it an interest to have a second guy in there to kind of take off carries from Jacobs, which is kind of it's, you know, not letting Jacobs kind of show his full potential, but it is smart in terms of longevity for, you know, your young running back. And despite being in the league, you know, a couple of years, he is still very young. So, yeah, another guy that I think we haven't seen his full potential, but maybe that's a good thing.
Right. And I mean, you look at his first three games last year, I think he had around 400 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And it's like, if that's, you know, him getting time off still, like, what's he doing if he's the sole guy in the backfield,
right?
You know? Next one at number nine here, I'm going with another bruiser, Chris Carson. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as I love receiving backs, if I were to start a team and, you know, Chris Carson's there, it's nice to have a guy where you give him the ball on, you know, 3rd and inches, 4th and inches, you're not really too concerned about.
Right.
Him getting bopped in the backfield, like, just, you know, big between the tackles guy, but still fast. I mean, he can run it outside, but yeah, I don't know. Just a guy I'm liking.
Yeah. And then rounding out the list all the way down at number 10, I considered keeping him off the list, but there is the potential he comes back, and Saquon Barkley's all the way down at 10 for me. We talked about injuries throughout the list, but this is one that is just – the injury history is too much for me. Like, it stinks because he's very good when he's out there, but I think it would be against the odds to say that he's – the odds are stacked against him, let's say, for him to come back and be what he was.
Right, or to even play a full season at this point.
Right.
I mean – wonder what his over under would be on games played.
Yeah.
10.5 or exactly, something. Yeah. Yeah. So then rounding out my top 10 is Josh Jacobs. Kind of same thing you touched on. He puts up numbers for not being that guy.
Definitely. Yeah. There's notable exclusions from the list. I don't think either of us even considered it, but if you would have told us 2 years ago that Zeke Elliott wouldn't be sniffing a top 10, maybe I'd believe it because he's, you know, running backs, the turnover is that quick, but I find it hard to believe that we haven't already seen the best of Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, so I'll give you my reason for leaving him and Jonathan Taylor off.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the Colts, that offensive line is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, And same thing, like when Zeke, you know, 2 years ago was really producing, that Cowboys offensive line was nuts. You know, I think they're still above average running backs on a different team.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if they're top 10 material. Because when you're running behind lines that are just considerably better than 90% of the other teams in the NFL, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to judge how much of that is the running back and how much of it is, you know, the first 3 yards just free on every run.
Yeah. So, yeah, like we said, that's our top 10 running backs for 2021. You know, at our baseball picks, that's where we're going to leave you guys for this episode. A little bit of a shorter one, but that's kind of going to be our norm unless there's some massive news stories coming out. I think on Monday's episode, we'll have our weekly winners, which is the new segment we did last week. And we'll have another sports betting alternative to kind of break down and give our thoughts on. So thanks guys for listening, and we'll see you on Monday.